CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It is still raining. It is still Tuesday. It's already the 10th of December. Before you know it, it's going to be Christmas. If you had plans and you haven't made them yet, forget it. It's too late. I'm sorry. Got to break it to you. Someone's going to, and it'll have to be me. All right, let's get cracking this morning. Lots to do, lots of people to talk to, lots of things to discuss. Oh, so much. Pumi Mashiko's here. Hello, Pumelele.
Good morning.
Sia Sangweni's here.
Good morning.
We've got Mbulelo Tinta.
How's it going, guys?
We've got Gugu Masuku.
Are we?
And we got me. And we got you. So it's a full house. We're all here. There's lots to talk about, as I said just a moment ago. First of all, did you survive load shedding and did you survive the rain? Those are the two questions everybody's going to be asking each other, at least in South Africa this morning. I see most parts of the country escaped the kind of flooding that some sporadic areas have had. But there were stories of it, like old people being pulled out of their house near my house.
Gareth, they had a military chopper.
Yeah, by your side of the world.
Your side of the world. A military chopper. Like, we only
wonder if they do that for me, or if I just be there, just like wave to me as I rowed my boat gently down the stream.
I just felt bad for the people who were minding their own business. They went to work, they parked their cars at the parking lot, went into the building, and then,
cars drowned.
Listen, the videos.
That is at the insurance.
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. There were videos of cars like swimming.
Yeah.
Cars going for a swim. What we have learned is that a Polo floats better than a Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, okay.
That's these what we've learned.
Now we know.
Now you know. If you're going to buy a waterproof car, maybe Polo's better than Mercedes.
Do you want to buy a waterproof car?
Maybe Mercedes just heavier. Who knows?
Could be.
Better engine.
Terrible.
It was that. Then I also saw footage of some people stuck in a conference facility or a hotel, and there were like 17 people stuck in the building, and they also had to be airlifted out.
Can it get any worse? So you are expected to be in the conference thinking and in this rain, and then you get stuck there because of flooding. Like, it's the 9th of December.
No.
Nobody feels like working anymore.
No one
and
wants
you're
to be
in
a
bloody conference. Yeah. And then you get because of the rain.
All of this reminded me about these drills that we used to do, particularly at school. You know, fire drills and safety drills, and this is what you must do, and be very.
You should have learned to swim. That's all you need now.
You see, none of that procedure and protocol would have worked with me. If I was stuck in a building. And I could tell that there was just water everywhere. Goodbye. That's it. I'm running away. I'm leaving all of
you. Where would
I'm
you not go?
Running
you,
away you're to
running
away.
Water so like Jesus?
You can't, hold on, because you can't go into the lobby of the building because it's flooded.
I'm sure those people were waiting for instructions.
What would you do?
I would have left.
When?
Guys, if we were in this building right here, right now, and you know, maybe we got a call from the landlords. They were saying, okay, help is on the way. You know, the waters are very dangerous.
By the time someone has warned you, it's too late. You know how quickly water moves. All right, Sia. So here's what happens. If this building was flooded.
Yes.
Like, it would be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, hell, guys, we can't use the front door anymore. Now what are you going to do? Okay, so come on.
Okay, wait. My heart just started beating at the prospect.
Send a warning shot. Like, floods don't send warning shots.
I'm off to the roof.
But hold on.
Have you heard of flash?
Until what?
You heard of flash flooding?
Until when?
Clearly not. But they were stuck in a hotel. Go upstairs.
They were.
There's five-star suites.
No. You see, that's why.
People in a room. You're in a hotel. There's probably enough food for like 10 days backed up. What are we talking about?
Mbulelo, that's why I started by describing it as a conference facility first. Because when they said hotel, I even looked at that building going,
But they're not in Syria.
That's at least half a star.
So that even
half
if
a star.
It was
exactly,
dodged.
You're not in Syria. It's not the end of the world. But they will. The best thing to do in a situation like that is actually to go to higher ground, because we're on the first floor of a building, so we'd probably be fine. And ultimately, we would be able to get out through these windows if we absolutely had to.
and swim if you can.
I could fit. Yeah.
Yeah, and if the water level's so high that it's right underneath our level, then
you can swim.
Yeah, you can swim
somewhere. But where are you swimming to?
But that's the other danger, right? Like, you don't want to swim because if you swim and you get carried away by a current, you can get carried into much heavier currents. Before you know it, you're in some dam. Which
all
is raging.
Slammed by cars that are swimming as
because
well.
Because that's the thing about flooding, right? Is it's not isolated incidences. It's not only going to be just this building is flooding. No. It's not our taps that have been left open. It's the entire area that is flooding. So as you then, come on.
Well, I'll tell you what. The river. So I'm now the owner of a lakefront property.
I didn't force.
I think now I'll build a little jetty and I'll buy a little rubber
is
dinghy.
Is that how far it's surging?
Yes, it's pummy.
I was actually quite horrified about how much water there is in that Pretoria area because I was in Dinukeng, right?
Yeah,
I was saying this weekend. And even, so Dinukeng is what? Northeastern side of Pretoria, right?
Yeah, it's sort of where the Rietvlei Dam and all of that is, right?
Yeah, there's a whole... Dude, driving back yesterday evening, places looked like rice paddies. There was water everywhere. And I was just like, where is this water even coming from? There were ducks swimming in one. I was just like,
well, the amazing
thing, end is nigh.
The river that flows in front of me eventually flows into the Crocodile, which eventually flows into the Hartbeespoort Dam, which eventually flows into Mpumalanga, right? Mm-hmm. So it goes through the Kruger Park and all of that stuff eventually.
So it's amazing because now you can see all the little rivers everywhere because now everything is full. So the little rivers that you normally don't even pay attention to.
You didn't even know were there.
There's right here down the road. There's here in Bryanston. There's a little chunk of Jackskay, right?
Yeah.
I often drive on that bridge and often when I drive on that bridge, I'm going, this thing is an accident waiting to happen. I'm going nowhere near that bridge this day.
No, I have to use that often.
You know that bridge
and
I'm talking
everyone
about.
Everyone freaks out. The one we have to basically wait. It's a one way. It's a one way bridge.
Let me tell you something.
It freaks everyone out.
20 centimeters of water is all it takes to wash your car off a bridge like
that. Are you serious?
20 centimeters of water. Trust me.
And that bridge has no barriers now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's got no...
No.
I don't even know what the side railings would do if that water surged.
If you drove a little car onto that thing and there was what they call a wall of water or a flash flood came down very quickly, you'd be...
You say right this, dude. I saw recently a video of a taxi on a little bridge like that with not much water.
Yeah,
as you say.
Nadal.
Yeah, and the taxi just stops there for 2-3 minutes and suddenly it just gets...
It wasn't even 2 minutes.
It was less than that, right?
Yeah.
And it just gets swept away. Gone.
Yeah. You really have to be careful. So anyway, I mean, this is all very exciting because, you know, we don't have enough to deal with in this country.
It's very exciting because I think we've got to because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the Vaal Dam 40%, and now they're opening the sluice gates. Mm. So
I heard from Department of Water Affairs or something that we're still not in the clear, blah, blah, blah.
We are now.
But then they never know what's going on. I think, hasn't the Department of Water...
No, they
Department
had an announcement yesterday.
Oh, they
saying
did?
That they actually, because it's not just, so we're talking about all the water in all the little
catchment
areas.
Okay, so in other words,
here,
is being caught and capped. Okay, good. Catchment areas.
At least you're doing something.
Oh no. For me, these past couple of days have just made me realize that I'm not equipped for the end of days. I'm not equipped for survival. I'm not equipped for trying to man up for myself because over the weekend I was in an Uber in Sandton, Nogal. This is what is so surprising to me. In Sandton, the richest square mile in Africa, we were driving down Sandton Drive and our car hit this massive pothole and we had a puncture. I was sitting in that backseat comfortably I'm sorry. I still don't know how to change my tire right now. I can't go onto YouTube to help you out. You go and figure that out. While I'm trying to accept that, we hear another loud bang.
Yeah. Catches everyone.
And there were two more cars that were also hit the same pothole. Yeah. And now we were three of us just standing on the side of the road trying to fix our tires.
In the rain.
In the rain. And it was now like
you
early.
Were not standing on
it was
the side
early
of the
evening.
Road trying to fix anything.
Look,
you were sitting
I stepped
in the
outside. I surveyed the scene. Then I thought, I'm of better use back in the car.
Why didn't you just get another Uber? You don't work
you know,
for Uber.
Because I actually felt bad. I actually felt bad leaving the guy.
No, you see, then you deserve to.
Yeah. I don't would you guys have cancelled and
sure,
then just
I would
ordered
have said,
another
sorry,
one?
Sorry, dude, not my problem anymore. Bye-bye.
It's
why you have an Uber.
Thank
otherwise,
you.
It's your car. Otherwise, it might as well be your car. What, are you going to help pay for the repairs that... He drove into the pothole, not you.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Pay my bills, Dex? You don't like you don't work for Uber.
So, what is the protocol in that? So, you're already on the trip, right?
Mm.
So, cancelling the trip is not an option.
I actually haven't looked at how much it costs overall.
Also, because when you cancel Uber trips, even if he cancels the Uber trip, sometimes you get charged. It's a mess.
I've been in that situation. I got in an accident in an Uber, and the most important thing in my life was happening. There was a football game on.
Most important thing in your life.
We crashed. The guy obviously now panic stations. So then me and my mates who are in the Uber close the door. Hi, them going, mum. Got another Uber. Got out of there. He got the charge reversed, and it charged him for the trip up to there. So you don't work for Uber. Just get on with your life.
Right.
Oh, man.
Well, we've got...
So what did you do? You ended your trip?
Yeah, I don't
want to
lie. I can't remember where it happened, but all I know is we got to the football game on time.
That was not the point of the story. The point of the story was you helping all of us with the protocol of what happens when you're in an Uber.
He didn't get charged.
You're useless to me.
Well, my driver said because we aren't moving anywhere, we aren't being charged extra. So the fact that we're in one place. No, but I just felt bad for
you
the
asked
dude.
Him.
Yeah.
You
no,
asked
I
him.
Bad
yeah,
well.
I did ask once we were back driving again.
How long did it take?
It was like easily 20 minutes. Oh. Because then as well, he was outside and he was taking photos because it was a bigger claim.
So here's the problem. Jeez. It's like the reason you use Uber and you don't drive yourself around is because it's raining, you're going to be drinking, you need to get somewhere quickly. The minute all of those conveniences are removed, then you may as well have driven yourself or go home and cancel the whole thing because this is becoming a nightmare now.
Yeah.
And I had two Ubers I had to catch this weekend. The one guy needed to fill up. So
really?
Was,
with you in the car?
Yeah. It was,
that is rude.
Well, you know, you think like these guys... I mean, I didn't mind, but it did add an extra 10 minutes to the journey, and I was in a bit of a hurry, so I was slightly peeved. These are the things that you only think about when they happen, because on every other Uber trip I've ever taken, it was never even something I thought about. I always thought, well, the guy's got petrol in his car.
Right.
Anyway,
like the movies.
Yeah, and the other guy took a route like the worst into load shedding at William Nicol, where I was stuck at the, I mean, there was like a queue of cars. It took an extra at least 40 minutes.
Jesus.
Because he insisted, no, he had a better route.
Yeah.
I was like,
but a better route than the
app. Yeah, your app says, I said to him, dude, your app is saying you must go here. No, he knew better. See, this is where everybody who talks about machine learning and artificial intelligence and technology and all those people who give all these TED Talks for a living about how they do not understand Johannesburg Uber drivers.
Yeah.
They do not understand passengers in the city. They don't understand potholes. They don't understand load shedding traffic. They don't understand rain. They don't get it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, machines. You have much to learn.
Gareth, you've opened up an interesting thing there. It's like when you go to a restaurant and your waitron doesn't write the order down, like in service. It's like, I'm not impressed by that. I'm not impressed. Just write my order down and get it right. It's like the guy
as
who
long
ignores,
as they bring the food.
No, no. Just don't try and be impress me about your memory. Write my food down and bring what I ordered, not what you think I want or you're not impressive.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I've very seldom had it wrong.
I've never had it wrong.
I think they try their best to get it right because otherwise they're, doesn't it cost them money or something? How does it work? I don't know. Like, don't waiters get into trouble if they bring you the wrong order? And
yeah, I'm sure they get billed.
I'm not paying
somehow
for that.
Just write it down. I mean, you do end up with douchebag customers, and I always feel very sorry for waiters and waitresses when they have to deal with idiots who don't remember what they ordered, because that happens a lot too.
No,
because that happened to me. My first ever job. My only ever experience as a waiter. It took
you
me
were a waiter.
A couple of
one,
hours.
No, for one order.
It
wasn't even.
Oh, is it? You got angry and said,
they,
I'm
they
out.
They gave me some basic training, which took maybe half an hour. And they put me out there, and there was this fat old white guy, and he ordered, he said to me, hey,
Are you shaming?
Yeah, fat old white guys, yes. It was at a golf course, like a club, right?
A country club.
Yeah.
So I go up to him, I go, hi, can I help you? He goes, hey, can I have a whiskey and soda? So I said, sure, no problem. I go off and get him a whiskey and soda. When I get back, he says to me, I ordered the whiskey and water. So I said to him, no, you didn't. Yeah. Which apparently you're not meant to say.
Yeah, because the customer's really? Always right. The
customer's always right. So the guy goes, I know what I ordered. So I said to him, no, you don't. Because you've been playing golf and you've been drinking all afternoon. So he's like, call your manager. I realized at that point I was Gareth, not cut out for it.
You were escalated.
I said to him, you know what?
First order, you were escalated.
I said, you call him. And you can tell him I've gone. And I took the badge off there and then put
you
it
go
out.
Find him. Yeah, maybe the talking back thing didn't like, exactly bode you well.
I was like, this is not for me.
You were escalated.
I would rather not have Vasti spending money at that point than have worked in that job. I was terrible. I was the world's worst waiter for one whole order. That's it. Arguing with a customer.
So I was a little lenient by saying a couple of hours. It was
it was even less.
A couple of minutes.
All right, let's go to some messages. And we do have some news to get to. Apparently, Jacob Gedleyihle Zuma has fled to Cuba.
Guys, it might only be like super important to one person in this room, but I think it's like stop the presses kind of news.
Oh.
That Russia has been banned from all international.
Yes.
All, everything. 2020 for 4 years.
And 2022.
All international
sports.
No
Russia? Wow. No Russia at the Olympics? Yeah. No, like what?
What have they done?
Where else are we going to get those women who look like men? Oh, hang on. Caitlyn Jenner's got that covered.
Four years, guys. 4 years.
Yeah, no, that's a big story. There's that one. There's the Jacob Zuma story we've got to talk about. We've got to talk about how not just SAA are in business rescue, but PRASA now as well.
Oh, Lord.
We have to talk about how we skipped stage 5 and went straight to stage 6.
Yes. 6.
Load shedding. I still don't know how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Cyril is visiting Egypt while everybody in this country is losing their minds.
Apparently he's going to charge his phone. Yeah,
no one is giving him a moment to breathe. He was tweeting yesterday, tweeting Zozibini, like,
he's not giving
congratulations,
himself a moment to breathe.
Miss Universe, and everyone climbed onto him like, hey,
we've got work for you.
We have no electricity.
Right. I do have to, I've got to play
you. Who's that with so many angry faces in their message?
This is
South Africa, our land.
I'll tell you who this is. This is Lindy. She says, Joburg Uber drivers don't even know where Terminal B is at OR Tambo. Even if you tell them to fetch you at international departures, who the F picks these guys, says Lindy.
Oh,
yes, sis. Lindy, that's a lot of anger for that. I thought there was something more going on there.
That's high-level problems.
Terminal B. Ooh-wee.
I just finished listening to your interview with Miss Universe, who at that stage was just Miss South Africa. She's great. I loved it. Thank goodness we have water. Water is becoming a bit of a problem in this country. Mm. Yes, so that's a good point. That's coming in from Just Playing.
Although,
I do have like 3 weeks worth of like grass growth now.
Dude,
overnight. Yo. I have a swamp. Same. You mentioned rice paddies.
So
Google was saying his right outside his place is just, it's a swamp.
Like, I stepped out this morning and I just see a swamp on my lawn. It's like, and a little stream.
Mojo now looks like a wild animal running through that grass.
Amazing. All right, so here's one more thing that we need to look at. Charles Duplessis saying, the nice thing about Joburg weather right now is that you can see electricity in the sky, but you can't have it in your house. It's quite cool in a medieval sort of way.
I'm all for perspective, but that isn't even helping me.
Has it been like, have there been electrical storms? Or is it just been like,
I haven't seen anything, though, to be honest.
Has it just been like standard Anhodenderian.
Have you noticed that there's a whole new game that people play when there's flooding like this? It's called flooding watching or flood watching.
No.
And people drive their car to places where there are floods and they watch other shit going through, like flooding past, and people screaming with their hands waving, and like cars
and taking videos.
Really,
with their cell phones,
taking videos, and then they post. They can't wait to share it on their WhatsApp group with their friends and family. Look at this here. Look at this poor stupid woman on her roof.
You'll never hold South Africans down, guys. I don't care where you go in the world. In this country, there's no disaster yet.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's just South Africans. I think it's human, because I remember friends of mine who live in Houston in Texas, right? And nothing. I mean, they have the odd tornado, and then they did have that hurricane, 5 years ago? A little longer. It was during the Bush administration, Hurricane Katrina, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And then people were evacuated, and it was pretty bad. But, you know, Houston's, you would think, a pretty advanced city. I mean, they've got, like, NASA. NASA's based there. It's sure. They've got some of the best hospitals in the world. It's a real hotbed of, like, medical and scientific research.
And anyway, they have country music.
And they have country music. Oh. But they get their floods occasionally, like we do. And you, this is the thing about weather and acts of God, is there's nothing you can do about it. Doesn't matter how prepared you are as a country. You turn on your TV, and in some place in the world, there's flooding in, you know, some fancy village in England where you'd think people have lived for hundreds, thousands of years with little stone walls and little barns, and it all looks very peaceful in the summer. And then suddenly the rain comes, and then you've got people screaming and climbing onto roofs and rowing little rubber boats down the street. It happens, and we are just like everybody else, susceptible to this stuff. And I feel very sorry for people, because I can imagine a few things in the world that are worse than your entire house knee-deep in water. That must be one of the shittiest things. First of all, you have to throw away all your furniture, usually all your clothes, usually all your papers, gone, anything you've put away. You can't clean some of that stuff. Your floors are destroyed.
The towels are popping off the ground.
Exactly.
Your electrical appliances.
They're all ruined. And it doesn't matter what you've been paying to insurance. You know they're going to fight with you about how much. So you might get 3/4 of it back in terms of value.
Because no one has that kind of insurance.
No.
It's not comprehensive.
No
like
ways.
That.
So I feel very bad for people. I'm trying to think what I would save if I had to get out in a hurry, and what I would try to. Because I've got a double-story house, so I would try to take as much as possible upstairs, to the top. Right? I mean, that's what you would think.
Yeah.
But man, I don't know that I'd get that much up there.
So are you saying you don't have like a little suitcase with all of the important stuff somewhere? No.
You have it, right? You're that prepared.
I'm just checking that this is not a thing. That one thing, that if I needed to take one thing out of this house, I have one place to go to and one single thing.
I have a survival bag. I have I keep it in the car just because I think it's really cool to have. And it's something long ago. Like if there's a zombie apocalypse, I'm sorted. I'm,
got a flare, got a rope, got a blade.
Dude, I've got everything. I've got extra ammo.
Yeah.
I've got, in fact, I'll give you the list.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to know what's in there?
It.
No, don't laugh at me. This is a serious thing.
No, we aren't going to laugh.
So why is he looking for this list? Now. I think I urge everybody to do that. What? Just get a little box.
Yeah.
In that little box, put the things that are important, right?
Right.
Things like birth certificates and stuff like that.
You'd be surprised.
Like your insurance papers, because like it's not going to be on your phone.
Okay.
Right?
Mm. So here we go.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff is in the bag. Some of it would need to be put in the bag, right?
Okay.
You need a black phone, which means a phone that is like not rekid or fekid or anything.
Do you have one?
No, but you'd need to buy like a SIM card or something from somewhere.
Yeah.
So I've got an
Break
old SIM
door.
Card that's... I don't know if it will work. I've never tried it, but it's pre-Rika, right? So that's a lot.
So the black phone is for what? Because it's enemy of the state moments.
If I was being hunted down. Razor blades.
If you were being hunted down.
You'd have to have razor blades, and you'd have to store some of them in different places, just in case.
In the bag.
In the bag and in a change of clothing.
Okay.
You know, like in the seam of your pants or whatever, if you've got a pair of jeans, because you might need them. In case you get
it be like an anti-cutter? Okay.
No. Yeah. No, but that's too big. Just razor blades. You'd need a watch because you might not know what the time is wherever, and you might have to cross time zones and all kinds of other things. You'd need a wallet pick set for locks. You'd need a knife.
Gareth, yeah. Where are you even?
You'd need some cash.
No compass, no.
Yeah,
no, you don't need a compass. As well.
Okay. No, you got a watch.
Yeah.
You need an umbrella
because an umbrella is not just for the rain. You can use it as a weapon and you can use it as a number of other things, right?
Okay.
And you can use it to catch water upside down and lots of other things. Lighter. If you need sunglasses. Cigarettes, not because you need them, because I don't smoke them, but to trade.
Yeah.
Right? You'd need a change of clothes.
What?
You need a data USB. You need a waterproof container. You'd need some cord or rope.
Is there stuff on the data USB or is it just like
black? No, you'd need it in case, like, I don't know what you'd put on there. Maybe you'd put like various documents.
Because you always, like, people are always like putting in the movies, right? Where there's always some kind of copying across. Yes. And then it's like,
and the whole screen. 20,
and the screen, and you're like, oh my goodness, it's only 98%. And the guy starts there.
You'd need some loose change. You'd need a rigid sunglasses case because that's a really good thing to store.
Is your loose change rands or dollars?
I would have a bit of both.
Okay.
I'd have different currencies. You never know.
Okay.
Okay, you haven't mentioned a magnifying glass.
Wait, I'm not
oh,
out of it. Headlamp?
Okay. He's got a lighter. What's the magnifying glass?
Yeah, what do you need the magnifying glass for?
Oh, in the movies, they use it to start a fire.
Yeah. He's got a lighter.
Lighter, dude.
It's 2019.
You'd need some batteries. You'd need a water can or water bottle. You'd need energy bars, credit card. You need a multi-tool. You need some medical shears.
Sorry, you would take a question. Credit card, Garrett.
Yeah.
Mara, so, I need to. The credit card is like you're at the ATM. People like credit card.
Think practically of how much use there is in a piece of plastic that's shaped like that. Not just for financial transactions, but if you did use it, you could also use it
lines.
You could create a trail that you're not using. In other words, give someone else your credit card
and tell them to like withdraw.
Sends people on the wrong. Is this, track. Do you have an existing credit card that you don't use that's sitting ready for an event like this? Or will you just use one that you have
just
already?
Just bring one with you.
Okay. You grab one. Like some of this stuff is highlighted for like, grab this. Mm. Then you need a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some very good ones in the market now that are very powerful.
Insane.
That are also charged by the sun.
Yeah, and then you need, and you can look up these things. I mean, Google search like survival bag and they'll give you a whole, they're different people who specialize in this shit. But I just kept it for interest's sake because I thought, you never know. It has come in handy. I was at a friend's farm once, this is like 3 years ago, and someone cut themselves. I had like the bandages and all of that shit with me. So you never know.
Because at the whole farm they didn't have.
They didn't have anything.
They had no first aid kit like at Sia's house.
You need a gun and some rounds.
Yeah, you need that.
I like how you saved that for last.
Yeah, well, then you know,
that's survival, man.
So there we go. Don't say I'm not prepared.
Some of those items are very practical. Others I was not expecting.
What happens when your lighter runs out or it's wet or something? You need a magnifying glass.
You trade some cigarettes.
Okay, you know what? You take a magnifying glass. It means so much to you. And let's see how that works out.
Yeah, because everybody's survival bag also has different things, you know? Other people's survival bags like have bottles of champagne.
No, normal people don't have a survival bag.
I think most people don't have a... Yeah,
I know.
Not yet.
It is funny, though. I do have this in my car, and people think it's hilarious. It doesn't take up a lot of space.
You know, I hear you say we don't live in Mad Max, right? But like... Literally 4 months ago, not a single South African could have ever thought that they'd find themselves at stage six.
Fair enough.
And here we are.
It's on my doorstep.
Here we are.
The end is nigh.
We have a few. No, it's not nigh. Stop your nonsense. End is nigh. I see people.
The end is nigh. And he is zero prepared for
this. I know. I'll be like. Do you know
you're
who I,
go,
I would be in a movie setting? There's some sort of disease that is spreading everywhere and you guys are all equipped and prepared and you've boxed yourselves in your house. I'm the one who has just been infected and I come running and knocking at your door.
You're not coming in.
And then I die at your doorstep. That's how you know that the disease is now in your town. I'll be that example. I know. Please, no.
Are you those people in the bird box?
Exactly. I'm that one. I will not be chopping wood and trying to row and trying
you
to.
You just take me now, go Lord.
Goodbye.
Ready to come.
Yeah.
It's not like he has a choice, Pumi. He's not prepared.
No.
All right. I'm gone. So, five things you need to know today. First of all, it's not just SANRAL. It's not just PRASA. It's not just ESCOM. It's not just SAA. Now, the Road Accident Fund apparently says it cannot pay its employees because their bank accounts have been frozen. According to reports, the fund owes 17 billion rand to people across South Africa. Now, remember, these are people who have suffered losses due to road accidents but are still waiting to receive their compensation. So we're talking about people who've got quite severe injuries, people whose lives have been turned upside down. They've claimed from the Road Accident Fund because they can't walk or they can't move their necks or they can't move at all. I mean, some of these cases are pretty horrendous. And the Road Accident Fund just has no more money.
I don't even understand why we have a Road Accident Fund.
Well, it's because we have so many people without insurance.
So?
Mm. Yeah, I listen, you're preaching to the choir here.
No, I'm just...
You got to look after yourself,
out
right?
Out here wondering.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking about being prepared. People should be prepared on their own. Anyway, in an urgent application at the Pretoria High Court this week, the Road Accident Fund asked for two things that the sheriff unfreeze. It's ABSA bank accounts. Also, the court makes a special arrangement for the RAF that would enable it to pay claims within 180 days instead of 30. They've got big problems. According to the City Press, the RAF's acting chief executive, Collins Letswalo, has painted a bleak picture of the company. He's highlighted the RAF gets 3.5 billion rand from fuel levies every month, but has to pay out an average 4.3 billion in claims. This is before it's even paid salaries or other expenses. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not really feeling terribly sympathetic, but there's another disaster managed by our government. The Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu has been discharged from hospital. That's good news. He spent 6 days in a Cape Town hospital receiving treatment for a recurring infection. The 88-year-old Nobel Peace Prize laureate has been treated for the condition several times in the past few years. And the family has thanked everyone who has sent love and prayers. So he is back home. That's good news.
How old is he now?
88.
Man.
And President Cyril Ramaphosa said on Monday he would take drastic steps if needed to prevent foundering state-owned companies from failing as the government appointed an independent advisor to manage the country's passenger rail firm. I mean, the picture of Cyril attached to this article in IOL, he looks like someone who's just got no answers. He's exasperated. He's lost. He's like a deer in the headlights. And I think that's the truth.
Is this before or after he was so overwhelmed by the size of Medupi?
He's overwhelmed by so much. He's shocked and overwhelmed by everything he encounters. It's almost like he wasn't deputy president for a whole long time before.
Oh,
what, for nine wasted years, you mean?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Well, tell us how you really feel there.
Apparently, cash-strapped and heavily indebted state companies, including SAA, Power Utility Eskom, defense firm Danel, passenger rail agency PRASA have become major headaches, not just for President Cyril Ramaphosa, but for all of us as he seeks to reverse years of stagnant growth. Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula said on Monday he decided to place state-owned passenger rail authority PRASA under administration with immediate effect, adding he had dissolved the interim board. These companies, most of them, are monopolies. Do you know how easy it is to run a monopoly? Do you know how easy in a market where people need trains, passenger trains, to get to and from work every day, and they're paying? It's not as if they're getting this for free.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running an airline where you own most of what you need to own already, where you have the passengers lining up, where you have too many employees. Well, you have all the technical expertise. You've got enormous advantages over everyone else, and you've been bailed out by government X number of times, and you still fail. When you're a power utility, and for the longest time, no one else was allowed to provide power, and people need electricity, and you charge more for less, and you still can't run it properly. These have got to be, in the history of humankind, the people who understand money the least.
bunch of losers.
It's the only way to describe it.
So you know what I'm most interested in, and I read a little bit last night about why appoint an administrator for PRASA instead of appointing a CEO. So PRASA has not had a CEO for, I think, everybody's favorite Lucky Montana.
Lucky Montana, that's right.
And I'm wondering, why would you appoint an administrator and not a CEO for this entity and then dissolve the board? If not to circumvent a whole lot of systems and rules that are put in place for how, capital expenditure is dispensed, because then they have one person who is responsible to the minister who has, because once you're the administrator, that's it, right?
You're in charge of everything.
But also, because it's under administration, there's a different set of rules which you have to follow of how you are running the organization and how you are making decisions. Curiouser.
Okay, that's an interesting point. I didn't even realize that. But apparently, according to this minister, this is Fiki Limbalula, he reckons that this is the best way to go.
Of course he does.
What does he know?
Of course he does.
Yeah. Oh, boy. In other news, Minister Mtunu has announced massive cuts to ministers' perks. This is interesting. Public Service Administration Minister Senzo Mtunu has said that they're proposing 700,000 rand caps on new cars for ministers. How will they cope?
That's not a cap.
How much is your car worth?
Yo, wait.
That's like, you don't get to live in Dainfern anymore. You have to move to Houghton. 700,000 rand is not a cap. Please.
What do you get for 700,000? Okay, let me go on to...
I was looking at new cars the other day. 700,000 can get you some nice things.
Gary, okay. That's a fallacy. That is not a cap.
I'm on Auto Trader. Maximum for 700,000 rands, you can still get a Mercedes-Benz GLE.
You can get a lot for 700.
You can get a Land Rover, Range Rover.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you can even get a Porsche... Panamera. Ah, well, 700 is fine. Let's go down to Toyota Uber. Yeah.
So apparently...
Yeah, except, Sia, that is also a 2014 Porsche Panamera.
And how could a government servant be seen in that? Oh. Look, I mean...
They should have...
2014,
they should
Sia.
Put government ministers in panel vans.
We're
honestly, I don't know why... If you, it should not be glamorous to be a minister. That way you would attract people who actually wanted to serve the public instead of people who wanted to live glamorous lives on taxpayer money. Make it uncomfortable. Make the housing very basic. You can pay for their travel. You can pay for their basic services, but don't give them luxury and glamour and make it exciting to be a minister. It must be hard work. It must be only attractive to people who like hard work and who want to serve. Politicians, mostly. They're going for they're going for the 700,000 rand or more car.
The thing is that, like, to be a minister, you have to be a politician, right? And politicians all over the world... All over the world.
Where's this guy?
Are only attracted to power.
Correct.
They're not attracted to hard work.
That's what I'm saying. Panel van.
They're not attracted to hard work.
Ugly little white panel van with government minister on board written on the side. Like you put
with
baby,
no windows
like
on
you put
the side.
Baby on board. Because you've got a fucking retard in the back of this panel van who's about to go to a meeting to get an administrator for PRASA.
I'm going from one place doing nothing to another place doing nothing.
The handbook, the ministerial handbook, has been changed, apparently, according to this minister. It's been used to justify lavish travel and car expenses while the country's economic growth remained stagnant. Unemployment continued to rise. Like many South Africans, the time had come for ministers whose excesses had often been taxpayer-funded. How else would they have been funded? What, like the ministers are busy running a side hustle that's busy putting money back into the state? Oh, please.
Are we still in the new dawn, or is it morning yet?
I think the dawn is over.
We're in the new dawn.
We're in the full glare of the light, or if you look at Joburg sky today, we're in the doldrums.
Yeah. Oh. The Maya.
So, because remember how at the beginning of the new dawn, there was a promise made that like we won't have press conferences starting late.
Yes.
We won't have any of what happened
that.
In the old. So I'm just saying.
Take us back, Pumi.
Even that minister
Take us
who
back.
Held a whole press conference to tell us about the new ministerial handbook, his press conference started 45 minutes late. Deep in the new dawn.
Oh, no.
In his defense, he only had a 700,000 rand car.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he doesn't have a 700 rand
car. He has more.
He is of the last of the breed that have a car that costs more. He's the last of the breed. He has just ensured that the next bunch of ministers don't get what he has.
Well, in New Zealand, they've got problems too. You know, don't think that just because New Zealand seems like a very nice place to live, that it's all fun and games. It's the worst accent in the world. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has said there were no signs of life on White Island following a volcanic eruption. She said the focus is now on recovery and the return of loved ones once the island was safe. 13 people are presumed to be dead, 5 of those confirmed, 8 still missing. The volcano erupted on Monday as tourists were visiting the popular attraction. 34 people survived, with 31 still receiving treatment in hospital. Among those hit by the eruption, people from New Zealand, Australia, China, Malaysia, the US, and the UK.
Yeah, there was a vacationing couple on honeymoon who was part of the victims there.
Well, I don't visit islands that are active volcanoes. There I hate to say something that's kind of obvious. You would think.
And doesn't seem insensitive.
There's smoke coming from an island. Go the other way.
Zero empathy.
I'm sorry, but am I being unkind?
Zero.
No, just if you see smoke coming from an island, go the other way from that island. Please. Let's all try to be smart about this. And those are the things you need to know. Our former president has hightailed it to Cuba, and he says it's because he's sick. And he, you know, remember when he was poisoned by his wife?
We still don't know that.
Well,
we still don't know that.
He's the one who said it was his wife.
Well, I watched, a couple of months ago, she actually did an interview, and she did an interview with Karen Morn.
Saying she did or did not?
Of course she did not. Okay. Admit to something like that. But she was very... Let me see if I can find the clip of that interview, because I was shocked she even did it.
What did you personally get out of that interview, Sia?
That she was less than smart for agreeing to do an interview of that kind. But in her words, no, she did not. So let's use the word allegedly. Yeah. Our former president who was allegedly
okay, here's Karen Moon tweeting that former President Zuma is back in South Africa after reportedly receiving, and this is from 28 minutes ago, reportedly receiving medical treatment overseas. Presidency refers all queries about reports he was receiving treatment for alleged poisoning to his spokesperson, who has yet to respond.
But he's in the country now. He's not in Cuba.
Are there pictures of him in South Africa?
I want pictures.
Yeah.
Although there's a picture of him in the aeroplane on the way.
Come on now.
Oh,
so, business so class, hey?
That can't be Singapore.
Of course he's
just
business.
Standing. He's not sitting in business class. Maybe he came to talk to somebody.
No, hold on. There's sun. Can I just be honest? In that picture, there's sun in that. If you look out of that window, there's sun coming out there.
When was the last time we saw the sun?
You are one of those Twitter detectives. You have zoomed in.
I think whether your mic is going to be off just now. I don't know where you see the sun.
Mbulelo, you will see a strand of hair on someone in that photo, and you'll be able to deduce whether it was a southeasterly breeze.
I want a proof of life.
Which means he was flying towards the equator. Okay, Mbulelo, calm down.
If he's sick, why is he standing as well?
Well, what do you want him to do? Just lie down the whole time?
So sick people can't stand?
No, but you look sickly. He's in a suit that looks like a crisp shirt.
Who knows what's afflicting him right now?
Lest we forget, he missed...
What disease he may have.
Very tired. He had a tough run of those 10 wasted years. Say, for me.
Yeah.
He missed his deadline for the Zondo Commission, by the way.
Of course he did.
Mm, because he was out.
He was ill.
Yeah.
In a clean shirt on a five-star plane.
Oh, but okay.
Someone wants to tell Mbulelo he's a moron. Clayton says, you idiot, there is still sun above the clouds.
No, but there's no sun in South Africa.
No, but there is sun up there, dude. Whether
above
it's
the
cloudy
clouds.
Here or raining here, up there it's bright.
John T says, our transport minister was so worried about transport this weekend that he was moaning at Nike about the colors of shoes.
Did
with
you
reference
see
to the old
that?
Ah, yes.
All people did not give him a moment. So Mbalula tweeted a photo of this new Nike sneaker.
First, Kasta tweeted the picture.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Kasta tweeted the picture.
With the same grievance? Oh, okay. Because then Minister Mbalula says, oh my goodness, Nike, you have so much to answer to just because the sneaker has the colors orange, white, and blue. And he says that it's very similar to the old apartheid flag.
Mm.
Then everyone started responding going, Mr. Mbalula, have you seen your e-toll signs?
Have you seen JMPD cars?
JMPD also have the exact same color. So what do you have to say about that?
And listen, are we all going to go
Nike
into...
Nike doesn't care.
Are we all going to be triggered into a terrible panic every time we see orange and white and blue?
We're not.
Honestly, I mean, was more of an issue during apartheid, those yellow police vans. Remember those, Pumi?
Yellow, Baba.
Those were scary. Not the old flag. You didn't shit yourself when you saw the old flag. You shat yourself when you saw one of those old yellow police vans.
It was a Casper.
I see.
That's...
Those things
are so... they used to be yellow back in the day.
All right, so... Yeah, the old ones. So anything yellow. So suddenly the Bafana kit is like triggering, you know?
Sundowns. ZCC uniforms.
ZCC. Technically the Cliff Central logo.
Right.
Suddenly, the ZCC, I mean, Mothers Union uniforms.
What are you? What are you, five? Oh, my God. All right. The minister did say, Costa said, love your kicks. And they are kind of cool looking. And then Costa did say to the minister, is this also part of your discussion, having tweeted a JMPD
so,
car?
You know, Costa quotes a lot of flack, right, around this. And this is what is both wonderful and annoying about Twitter, is that everybody, you know, feels that their opinion is valid to be put out there. Oh, Lord.
But those are cool kicks now that I've seen them. He's just hating. Oh, nice. He's trying to make noise.
Speaking of the Road Accident Fund, this is interesting, and this comes from Sbo this morning. Speaking of the Road Accident Fund, I used to work at a law firm that specialized in RAF claims. Attorneys are a huge contributing factor to the bloated RAF bill.
Uh-huh.
They overinflate the claims, knowing that there are no skills to properly examine these claims on the RAF side. What's worse is that they rob the claimants at the end of it all.
Well, they're trying to cut them out now, though, the RAF.
Yeah, but the RAF... You can't have people who are dumber than the attorneys who are going after the RAF, protecting the RAF. Huh. So what we need is smarter people in charge at
what
the RAF.
What we need is no RAF.
Well, Pumi says dissolve the whole thing. Okay. All right.
Yeah, part of the taxes that you currently pay on your per liter price will also be cut down.
Somebody wants to know about an Instagram post, and this is from Sandile. Sandile wants to know about what this means. So I got something.
Sandile sending us Instagram posts. Let's see the Instagram post.
No, Sandile just said he wants to know about mine.
Oh.
So this is a message that was sent out from one of the departments. For info purposes only, for our international guests, we have stage 6 load shedding implemented this evening. That means more electricity cuts in a day than they've ever been. We've just received the Cape Town schedule. This has caught the entire country off guard. And on stage 6, it means 9.5 hours out of 24 with no electricity. Please do not discuss the merits of Eskom, the government, etc. That was an official memo.
This is official for international guests.
The merits of our government. What merits?
Are you joking? Is that a real statement?
It's a real statement.
So,
the merits.
You know, a couple of months ago also, there was lots of brouhaha after, I don't know if any of you remember, Busisiwe Mavuso, who is the CEO of BLSA, is also on the board of Eskom.
Yes.
And she caught a serious tongue lashing from the minister after she came out blazing to say that if we were honest, if the board of Eskom was honest with the public and with the executives, load shedding and heavy load shedding would be a thing for the next 2 years for South Africans in order to give Eskom the space and time it needs for maintenance and upgrades and everybody's favorite minister, Pravin Gordhan, went apeshit on her, calling her rogue, amongst other things. And she was so, I don't think she was in any way harsher than any other person. I think just, she could have been.
Pravin is everyone's favorite minister, except he's never been mine. And I always said I disliked him the most of our ministers, despite everybody on Cyril's side saying he's great. Listen to what he said when somebody asked
him. Samgelo.
Yeah. Samgelo said, is this a national crisis? So listen to Pravin. And I want you to think about that brilliant miniseries Chernobyl, in which the communist Russian government, their first duty was to try and control the narrative, not to tell the truth or to deal with a real problem that could have had all of Eastern Europe and most of Russia blanketed in a nuclear holocaust if it had gone any more wrong. This was his response. Listen to Pravin and think of that guy.
So before you play that, I mean, the thing with Musi, it was to the parliamentary committee, right, that she said all this. So
that's her job to give
them honest
feedback.
She said to the parliamentary committee that we've got such intense pressure from the minister, who is the shareholder, and we are unable to move in the way that we need to move because the minister is unwilling to hear reason or listen to the truth. And he flipped out.
Listen to this.
Is this a national crisis?
Well, let's say it is not a big crisis. It's something we are managing. But let's call it a manageable crisis. And that's why we're here. That's why we have the expertise that we have in Eskom. But we need to apply it a little bit better. And we'll show you a picture now, I think, of the flooding at one of the power.
It's not a crisis, he says. It's not a big crisis. It's just something we're managing.
Who believes
Pravin?
Everyone's favorite minister.
Pravin.
What do you mean? Who believes Pravin? Everybody believes Pravin.
I don't.
What do you mean? People love the man.
Oh, well. Gareth, you know
he's
what
doing the most.
You know what we're entering now is a very scary phase in. So Russia, towards the 80s and 90s, there's a term called hypernormalization. I don't really want to get into it. People can go and look it up. It's when the people on the streets know that the people in charge are not in charge, and the people in charge know that the society know that they're not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called hypernormalization, and it's a term coined in the USSR close to Gorbachev's time when the USSR was crumbling. So that this type of
is it them just pretending? Like wish thinking that things were not the way they were.
Well, there's a term, and it's very destructive. Everyone knows things are falling apart, but to hyper-normalize situation is just so that we can at least have it go well for a little longer. But we all know what we're headed for. Hyper-normalization is the term. But there's a term for what's happening now. It's called perception management, it was coined in the times when in Syria. By a guy called Henry Kissinger. And you're seeing a lot of the same things now when America went to Syria for the first time. So yeah, perception management and hyper-normalization happening.
This is all spin. That's all it is. Put it all under the same category of spin. And politicians love them some spin, don't they?
Yeah, because
doctors of spin.
Have you guys read our president's newsletter where he speaks about the importance of business rescue?
No?
Mm-hmm.
Is this for SAA?
He mentions SAA as well in his newsletter. I'm just going to skim past a couple of points, but here's just the opening of this grand newsletter. He says, "Dear fellow South African, When I visited Medupi Power Station for the first time 2 weeks ago, I was struck by how massive it is. It is one thing to be told in a briefing that when completed, Medupi will be the fourth largest power station of its kind in the world, but it's quite another thing to stand below its towering turbines. In many ways, Medupi is a fitting symbol of the importance of our state-owned enterprises.
Hmm.
Yeah. He goes on and on and on to skim things like that. If this is not spin, then I don't know what it is.
Well, we've got one last comment before we get to the next hour of this morning. Daniel saying he agrees with Pumi. Cut out the RAF completely. Force third-party insurance on all vehicles. If all cars are insured, then there will be no need for RAF. And the insurance will also be cheaper because everyone will be paying it. So, Pumelele, you've got supporters. If you decide to run. All right, that's the truth. All right, let's get your day going, shall we?
CliffCentral.com